The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So good evening, everyone. And in it being my last talk before the new year, I was thinking, what could I talk about today? That it seemed like a significant time, turning towards the light, to the new, and kind of casting about for something to talk about, I thought I would kind of give a talk that I gave at a retreat a couple of months ago, because somehow that spoke to me. And the title of the talk is Trusting Awareness, Loving Everyone. And so one of the things we do in this practice is to learn to trust our awareness, trust living from a place of awareness. And as we do that, then the task or the result is to love everyone. And that combination is quite beautiful. When there was a time soon after the Buddha's awakening when he was meditating in a park, a forested area, and while he was meditating, a group of young nobles from the city came to frolic and party in the park. And they must have partied hard because at some point they all took a nap, except for one attendant. And the attendant went around and stole all the jewelry from all the nobles. And so when these noble people woke up and saw that the jewels were missing and the attendant was missing, they started running through the woods looking for the attendant. And at some point they came across the Buddha sitting quietly meditating. And so they asked the Buddha, have you seen a woman? And the Buddha said, what would you rather find? A woman or yourself? And with that, they forgot about their jewels and the attendant, and they sat down to hear what the Buddha had to say. So this idea of what would you rather find in your life, you can fill in the X, whatever jewels are for you, or would you rather find yourself? And a big part of this Buddhist practice and Buddhist path is in fact to find oneself, to be able to stop long enough, to be able to turn the attention in deep enough so that we begin shedding all the extra garbage, all the extra agitation, all the extra preoccupations of the mind that stand in the way of being at peace, being aware, being in the present. And the practice to do this is to really be in the present and really turn the attention here. And remarkable things happen when it's like a door, like a portal that opens up if you can really be in the present. That door closes if we're not in the present, which means that we're thinking about the future and the past or being in fantasy. But there's this richness, this aliveness, this very kind of place of, in Buddhism we talk about liberation or freedom, that's available when we step into that door and really abide here, really are present in this moment. And as we do this and we start shedding all the agitation and preoccupations, we come into a place of deeper and deeper peace within. And that peace is kind of synonymous with being fully aware, because awareness gets cleansed. Awareness gets kind of emptied of agitation and preoccupation and fear and anger and hate and all these things. And so so this turning inward to find oneself, paradoxically, as we find ourselves, there's less and less concern about oneself. Because to be self-concerned is to be preoccupied. To be self-concerned is to be agitated. The ideas of me, myself, and mine are a kind of agitation that sends ripples through the field of awareness. So at some point, this turning inward, self-preoccupation falls away. And then there's this wonderful kind of I don't know if it's called a reversal, turning ourselves inside out, where the path of meditation, for example, is to go in deeply, have all this stuff fall away, and in doing that, we get turned inside out, and the awareness radiates outwards in all directions. And so rather than being self-preoccupation, it becomes an awareness that becomes all-encompassing, so that everybody's included in our awareness. And the idea that everyone's included in our awareness is the field for love, the field for us to be deeply connected to each other. It takes a lot of risk, it takes a lot of courage to be willing to sit still and turn the awareness in to find oneself. Not so much because finding ourselves is scary, but because to really do that, we have to sometimes confront some of the difficult places inside, and we have to confront or let go of the ideas, preoccupations, thoughts, attitudes, emotions that we've constructed to keep ourselves safe. To construct it in order to kind of keep our life just the way it's supposed to be. So I'm fond of this quote by Ananin. And the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk to blossom. So the risk to stay tight in the bud. So I want to read a poem by Mary Oliver. And it's called The Buddha's Last Instruction. And this poem, it's an interesting way it's constructed. there's a few lines where she's commenting about the Buddha's last days, reporting on them. And then there's a few lines where she's talking in the first person of being maybe outside, walking in nature, I think early in the morning. And it goes back and forth. And as you read this, as I read this, you might also notice how much reference there is to light. Light and flames and the sun, things like this. So the poem begins, quoting the Buddha. "Make yourself a light," said the Buddha before he died. I think of this every morning as the east begins to tear off its many clouds of darkness to send up the first signal, a white fan streaked with pink and violet, even green. An old man, he lay down between two sala trees. He might have said anything, knowing it was his final hour. And the light burns upward. It thickens and settles over the fields. Around him, the villagers gathered and stretched forward to listen. Even before the sun itself hangs, disattached in the blue air, I am touched everywhere by its ocean of yellow waves. No doubt he thought of everything that had happened in his difficult life. And then I feel the sun itself as it blazes over the hills like a million flowers of fire. Clearly, I'm not needed. Yet I feel myself turning into something of inexplicable value. Slowly, beneath the branches, he raised his head. He looked into the faces of that frightened crowd. Make yourself a light. Make of yourself a light," said the Buddha before he died. So make of yourself a light. It's said that it's better to light a candle than it is to curse in the darkness. So no matter what difficulties we find ourselves in, it's better to light a candle, light a light. And in Buddhism, we emphasize that the light is you. And so we want to light up for a frightened world, so the whole world can light up. One candle lights another. The darker the times we live in, the the more we need your candle. And if the candle, when the candle is lit, if in Buddhist terms that means to be awake, then I wanted to read this these verses from a poem by William Stafford. For it is important that awake people be awake, or a breaking line may discourage them back to sleep. The signals we give, yes or no or maybe, should be clear. The darkness around us is deep. Awake people should be awake. So if you have the ability to be present for this world, if you have the ability to be aware for the people you encounter, if you have the ability to be awake for yourself, please do. It's a candle you light. It's the portal you enter into for a rich world that we can share together. The shared world is found through the medium of our awareness. And if our awareness is clear and clean and present, the connected world becomes much bigger. So what is it to be awake, to have the light on? And I'd like to offer you a very personal answer to that question, maybe idiosyncratic to me, and maybe some of it will be alarming, maybe, to hear this. But the first, maybe the kind of simple Buddhist thing that I'm interested in, what I think to be awake is I have no interest in clinging. The idea of clinging doesn't really grab me much. But that means, but that leads me to have very little interest, I think, in being moralistic, in being judgmental, in being right, in being special, in acquiring things, in being afraid, in opposing, in arguing, in being alarmed, and in drawing lines and walls between us and them, between me and you. So even the idea of not being moralistic is kind of, you know, maybe alarming to you. I think that if I've noticed that over the years that I find myself less and less interested about thinking about whether people are being, you know, to judge people moralistically. People come and tell me all kinds of things, that they interesting things they do, and or hear about people doing interesting things, and if I'm not invited to be part of a process of reconciliation or a process of amends or a process of healing or something, I don't find it very interesting to be involved in judging them as being right or wrong, or, you know, in some kind of moral terms. I'd rather just kind of, I don't want to deny or be blind to the fact that maybe harm's been caused, but to see people through lenses of being moralistic, it just doesn't seem to interest me less and less, because it becomes a wall, a line, a breaking line, as Stafford poem says, a fault line between self and other, through which the awareness can't flow, the awareness can't be open and clear. But then if I'm invited in, which sometimes I am, I used to be part of an ethics committee, so I was invited in a lot to discuss interesting ethical issues with people. And so then I would be involved quite intimately and with a lot of discernment, a lot of care, a lot of attention to it. But if it's otherwise, why should I have a judgment? And I say that partly because in the past I had a lot of judgments. And I say it also because I see that judgments and moralistic judgments are rampant in our society. And I don't know if they help. I don't know if it's helpful to do it. And so people cling to many things. So the list of things that I'm Now that I'm not so interested in clinging, I'm not interested in clinging in being moralistic, being judgmental, being right, being special, acquiring things, in being afraid, in opposing, in arguing, in being alarmed, and drawing lines between us versus them. So maybe, you know, I'm not so interested, but maybe that's my New Year's resolution also. Maybe to lose interest even more. I wanted to read this poem about maybe someone who, like the Buddha, who lost interest in clinging. Victory gives birth to hate. The defeated sleep in anguish. Giving up both victory and defeat, those who have attained peace sleep happily. Giving up victory and defeat. Some people, their whole life is based on victory and defeat. is it possible? Is it useful? Is it wise to give up concern with having victory over others or having defeat? So all these things, not clinging, not being concerned with victory and defeat, is not a resignation from life, is not an avoidance of responsibility or denying of what's happening. In fact, it involves a heightened sensitivity to two things. To oneself, and the unsatisfactoriness of hate, divisions, craving, self-attachment, acquisitiveness, distractions, and to going asleep, to not being awake. A heightened sensitivity to the unsatisfactoriness of hate. Isn't that cool? Divisions, craving. So it involves two things. So this heightened sensitivity to oneself, and the second, heightened sensitivity to others. Because our hearts are open when we're aware, when we're fully aware. So Buddhism is not a withdrawal from life, but it is a turning inward, a retreating from life strategically, like meditation. You close your eyes, usually, sit quietly, you're kind of like, you know, pulling in. And some people complain about these Buddhists who are so inwardly focused. But no one seems to complain to you, or not you, when you go in to take a shower and you close the bathroom door, you're so self-preoccupied. You know, you just shut everybody out of your life. And, you know, no one questions whether you shouldn't do that. So to spend, you know, half an hour in meditating with your eyes closed is not really a withdrawal from life, but it actually wakes us up and it creates a heightened sensitivity so that we're actually more in our life when we come out of meditation. We're hopefully more connected. So there's a Zen saying that in Zen, there are only two things to do. One is to meditate, and the second is to sweep the temple courtyard. But the temple courtyard doesn't stop at the gates of the temple. It's the whole world. So we meditate, and then we clean the world. We take care of it. We respond, we connect. So another way of saying that, you know, sit, meditate, and then sweep the temple courtyard is to say, trust awareness and love everyone. Love everything. Because that's what we're doing in meditation. We're sitting here to really trust not just awareness, but trust abiding in awareness. Trust abiding in being awake and present and here, and not lost from here. And trust awareness, that's the first half, and then love everyone. What a great task, what a great goal, what a great New Year's resolution. And the more that we sit and become awake, and all the thoughts and concepts and ideas of division start falling away, we can still speak about oneself being distinct from others. But there's no hard line between self and others, between me and you and us and them. We are all in it together. We're much more in it together, this world and this life, than I think most people realize. We. We are one people. And it's hard to kind of, to say this abstractly, might sound inspiring or might sound boring or might sound, I don't know what, uninteresting. But the emphasis in Buddhism is the immediacy of now. And so how in the immediacy do we contact other people? We don't not just love everyone in the abstract, but the people that you encounter, that you meet on the street, you meet in the stores, in your homes. Are you there to be in it together? Are you there to connect, to say hello, to love, to care, to really feel that we're in it together? Being awake is not a matter of doing, but of letting go of what hides the light. So we have a candle, we have a flame inside that's burning, a flame of awareness. And it's not so much doing awareness as it is letting it drop away all the things that obscures that light of yours. The busyness, the agitation, all the swirls of thoughts and plans and memories and resentments and concerns that you have, to really trust enough so that we don't have to be always trying to accomplish something or figure something out or correct something or judge something or tell a story or explain ourselves. Just sit peacefully, at ease, quiet, trusting that's okay, just to be aware. And then, so we shed all this, letting go of clinging and grasping, letting go of complaining and blaming, resenting, and holding on to ideas of being for and against. To let go of how that, all those things obscure your light. And as a society, we can't afford to be afraid, or even in unintended ways, cause others to be afraid. If we're too afraid to have our light shine on the world, if we're too afraid to sweep the temple courtyard will never get clean. So here the Dalai Lama, apparently he gave a talk at one point, it's in a book. And then some brilliant person recognized that what he wrote could be a poem, or what he said. So now it's a poem. It's going around. So the Dalai Lama's poem. Never give up. No matter what is going on, never give up. Develop the heart. Too much energy in your country is spent developing the mind instead of the heart. Develop the heart. Be compassionate, not just to your friends, but to everyone. Be compassionate. Work for peace in your heart and in the world. Work for peace. And I say again, never give up. No matter what is happening, no matter what is going on around you, never give up. So, as part of this kind of impressionistic talk, I want to read a couple of passages by Martin Luther King, which speaks a lot about sweeping the temple courtyard from a place of awareness or love. So he wrote, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Hate multiplies hate. Violence multiplies violence. And toughness multiplies toughness in a descending spiral of destruction. The chain reaction of evil, hate begets hate, wars producing more wars, must be broken, or we shall all be plunged into the darkness of annihilation. Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. So light your candle, please. And he wrote, I am convinced that love is the most durable power in the world. It is not an expression of impractical idealism, but of practical realism. Far from being the pious injunction of a utopian dreamer, love is an absolute necessity for the survival of our civilization. To return hate for hate does nothing but intensify the existence of evil in the universe. Someone must have sense enough and religion enough to cut off the chain of hate and evil, and this can only be done through love. I believe firmly that love is a transforming power that can lift a whole community to new horizons of fair play, goodwill, and justice. So this idea of trust awareness and love everyone. I'd like to believe that a more traditional Buddhist way of saying that is that after the Buddha was awakened, he traveled around India and he started teaching. And at some point he had gathered around him 60 people who had become awakened like he did. So they had studied and practiced with him and they woke up. And they trusted awareness. And then he gave them the next set of instructions. He said, go forth for the benefit of humans and gods. Go forth and benefit others. Now that you know this, now that your light is lit, your light shines, go forth and bring that to others and benefit them as well. So these two things. Meditate, sweep the temple. Trust awareness, love everyone. Wake up, and then go to benefit others. Light your candle. There's a very interesting teaching from the Buddha. Very powerful, I think, about all this. And that is that the goal should be of practice, should be reflected in the means. That the goal of waking up is not only a goal in the future, someday I'll wake up. But if you want to be on the path of waking up, then start waking up. Start being aware. It's not like rocket science to be aware. Those of you who are still listening to the talk, you're aware. And you have enough awareness to, you know, but to wake up, to be aware. So one of these principles is that then Buddhism is to, that the means should be reflected, the goal should be reflected in the means. And so if you want to be, if you want peace, be peaceful. If you want justice, act justly. If you want understanding, try to understand others. If you want love, love others. If you want safety, offer safety to others. So whatever the ideal that you want, start living it. Don't wait to sweep the temple, courtyard. So the other thing that the Buddha said was an interesting phrase, instructions was that he said, make yourself a refuge for others. The word for refuge here can also mean safety. Make yourself safe for others. So finally, as you begin, if you're one of those people who likes to begin a new year fresh with a New Year's resolution, you might make a resolve to live a deliberate life, but deliberate for a purpose. And the deliberate life that you can live is a life of trusting awareness and loving everyone, practicing and sweeping the temple grounds, waking up and going forth to benefit others. To live the life that you want this world to be. And rather than waiting for someone else to light their light and for them to clean the temple, for them to make the world a good place, I think the most effective place you can begin is if you're the one who makes the world a better place. If you want the world to be a better place, live a deliberate life and go forth and make it so in your corner of the world. So that's what came out of me in my, I was sitting today thinking and trusting awareness, trusting myself, kind of reflecting and seeing what would come. So this is what came, this talk. So I hope that it was meaningful for you enough that it conveyed or inspired you to at the profundity of trusting awareness and loving everyone. It's a worthwhile to devote your life to those two things. So, thank you all.